You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really excited for today's guest. I want to introduce you to Pat Flynn. Pat, welcome to Making Bank.
Thanks for having me here.
Awesome, man. So for all the people that don't know who you are, maybe that little 1%, tell us a little bit about who Pat Flynn is and what you do.
Sure. So again, my name is Pat Flynn. I live here in San Diego, actually, where we're filming this right now. So it wasn't too much of a drive to come, but again, thank you for having me. I got my start actually after I got let go from an architecture position. So
okay.
I went to a school for architecture. I thought I was going to do that for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And I was actually really happy at my job, but in 2008, I was told I was going to be let go, which was just a crushing blow to me because that was my dream.
Right.
But, you know, looking back, that was actually the best thing to ever happen to me because I was then introduced to this world of online business and internet marketing.
Oh, wow.
And I discovered that through actually a podcast. It was called Internet Business Mastery. Hosted by two guys, Jeremy and Jason, and it was on one particular episode that they had where they interviewed a guy who was making six figures a year helping people pass the project management exam, the PM exam. And I was like, wait a sec, I've taken a bunch of exams when I was in architecture. Maybe I can do something similar. So to make a long story short, in October of 2008, I had a website up. I was providing content. I was getting found in Google for a lot of the keywords.
Cool.
I was becoming this sort of expert in this industry for this really niched exam. It was called the LEED exam, which is like energy and environmental design type stuff. But I wasn't an expert. Like I barely passed the test. But because I was the one actually promoting and sharing this information freely, I became seen as this expert. And then I published a study guide in October of 2008. Which was sold for $19.95. I had no idea what I was doing with pricing, right? And it was just an ebook.
It just sounded good, right?
And it was so like Frankenstein, the way it was put together. Like I wrote it in Word and then I just like saved it as a PDF and that was my product. But it ended up doing really, really well.
Wow.
It made $7,908.55 in October of 2008, which was like 4x what I was making as an architect at that time. And I was like, what? This is crazy. But it was funny because after that first sale, I remember I was like, oh my gosh, it worked. What if this person asks for a refund? What if I get sued? Like all this crazy like stuff that, you know, when you're trying something new, you're like, wait, this can't be real. But it was real. And I ended up adding more products to the line. By the time 2009 rolled around, I was making between $20,000 and
$30,000
a month with this like electronic ebook. And the coolest part about it was like, because of the way I set it up, because it wasn't a physical product that I had to go and ship out, people could come to the site, they would buy the guide, and literally it would be delivered to them automatically, right?
Sure.
That's very common these days. Back then, it was sort of new. And that's where this idea of passive income becoming the motivator for me, because I would literally wake up in the morning and see more money in my bank account.
And that's always awesome.
And it's crazy. And really, truly, what that showed me was that internet marketing can be done in a legit way.
Right.
Because not only was I making a lot of money, not only was it passive, but I was getting these amazing thank you letters, like notes, some handwritten from the architects that I had helped. They were like, I got a new job because of you. I got promoted. I got a raise. You saved my family. Like, I was like, what?
Wow.
Like, this is insane.
And
the crazy thing was, like, when I was in architecture, right, I worked so hard. And I had my fingerprint on a lot of, actually, restaurants out there in the world right now.
Cool.
Yard House, P.F. Chang's. I had my hand in designing a
That's
lot of those.
Awesome.
But if I were to ask you, watching this now, like, if you, can you name the person who even built the house that you live in, the house that you were raising your family in, you would likely not be able to answer that, unless it was like your grandpa with his two bare hands kind of thing. But then, like, here I was getting recognition for this little exam and people calling me by name and thanking me and wanting to meet me. And it's just, it really showed me that the online world enables us to really connect with people and build these real relationships and serve. And that's where my whole philosophy of actually serving first comes into play.
That's
your earnings should be a byproduct of how well you serve your audience.
Right.
So then later that year in 2008, I actually started a website called smartpassiveincome.com, which is where most people know me from now.
Right.
And that's where I started to just document everything I was doing, everything I was learning, things that I wish I had done differently. I started to build new businesses publicly and share the process along the way and sharing my failures along the way. And now, fast forward to 2017, I have a podcast that goes along with it, which just passed 42.5 million downloads.
Wow.
Just like, it blows amazing. My mind. Because I'm in my home in San Diego, and my two kids are like running around.
Right.
And like millions and millions of viewers are, and
so
listeners,
cool.
which is insane. And then I have a very popular blog and now a video channel to go along with it. I'm getting paid to speak. I just wrote a book called Will It Fly, which came out exactly a year ago, and it became as a self-published book, a Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Wow.
Which I didn't even know was possible. And now it's getting picked up in other countries, and I'm working on my next book, and I'm getting, you know, paid to speak. It's just mind-blowing. I'm so thankful for this journey, and again, going back to my layoff, it was like, thank God I got laid off.
For sure,
to show me all these things that were available to me.
That's amazing. And I love the story, and I know, and it's cool how transparent you are on your blog, as you know, you've been building different your different businesses mm-hmm. and everything, letting people know, hey, you know, these are what some of the challenges are, you know,
right.
I've encountered. This is what's really working well for me and mm-hmm. everything. And it's awesome to see that journey, that something that was pretty probably dramatic and seemed like such a setback when it happened, you know, with getting laid off, that you've now transformed into just a great life for you and your family, as well as just being able to serve and share with mm-hmm. his, you know, over 42 million people.
It was a crazy transition. Like, luckily, when I had gotten the news that I was going to get let go, I wasn't let go that day.
Okay.
I had a couple months because I had some clients. They couldn't just, like, remove me from
there. Sure.
So I had, like, 2 months till my death, basically. It felt like that, right?
Right?
And I actually moved back with my parents to San Diego.
Right.
I was living in Orange County. I moved back with my parents. Actually, timing-wise, I just proposed to my girlfriend, too.
Oh, wow.
And then I got the news about, I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So we go back home to live with our families to save money. And, you know, my wife's Filipina. I'm half Filipino. And when you're a Filipino getting married, like, you have to invite everybody. So, like, literally, like...
It's not one or two people.
No, no, no. It's like your mom... And the sort of immediate family, right? But all of their friends and all of their nurse friends, like,
wow,
just literally,
sure.
It's going to be a big wedding. So we were like crushed because where is this money going to come from?
Right.
So we did everything we could to save money, and I took the train every day because gas at the time was like $5 a gallon, and it was cheaper for me to train every day to Orange County, an hour and a half. And I remember sitting on the train ride, and I would see people come in the train with their briefcases and their laptops, and I'd be so jealous of them, like, you're so lucky, like, you have no idea
how
lucky you are to still have your job. I wish I was you. And then I got tired of listening to my, like, Linkin Park playlist, like angry music. That's when I discovered podcasts, and then
sure.
I discovered that Internet Business Mastery one. That's why I've always wanted to start a podcast, because that was the catalyst for me, and it was the platform that showed me all this stuff was possible.
Right.
So I had always wanted to start a podcast. It's really funny, because in December of 2008, when I had smartpassiveincome.com, I had announced to the small world that I had available at that time that I was going to start a podcast. I bought all this equipment. I spent like hundreds of bucks. I put my first recording out. I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to start a podcast. My first episode didn't come out until July 2010.
Oh, wow.
So a year and a half later
yeah.
because I was so dang scared.
Sure.
Because on a blog, you can hide behind your keyboard, right, and edit. Like, putting your voice out there, that was so crazy to me.
Right.
But when the podcast started in July of 2010, that was really the hockey stick moment for Smart Passive Income. Like, it went wild. And now I have these incredible raving fans who
sure.
listen to me, and they binge listen to me, and they're like literally having dreams. Like, I get emails like, I had a dream about you last night. And I'm like, that's weird, but that's kind of
okay,
cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, to have people, the thing about podcasting, it's like, people listen while they're on a jog or while they're on,
sure.
you know, on a commute. And all those kinds of things. It's like no other platform allows one to listen to somebody for over an hour sometimes
right.
versus a video, which is much shorter, or like a blog post, which is even shorter than that. So I'm just really happy that I kind of move forward with the podcast. And so
that's cool.
Whatever you want to talk about, I'm here to help. I have my foot in many different pools and many different platforms. So whatever I can do to serve you guys out there, I'm here.
No, that's so cool. I mean, just, and that's why when I was like, oh man, I get to have Pat Flynn on the show, and just love your story and just the transformation and the challenges and the success and everything that you've had, you know, from that. And I know one of the things that just even inspired me is just having my own show was, you know, hearing what you were doing and John Lee and some of the other guys mm-hmm. and everything out there and stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. how can I do this? And so for me, I was like, all right, I want to do video, even though I probably was like horrible on video. I know I was horrible on video.
Dude, like John Lee Dumas, you mentioned him. He had this quote that sticks with me, and that's every master started as a disaster.
Right.
And we all, like, if we all go back to you know, your favorite podcaster or Josh's show, like if you go back to the first episodes, it's like bad, right?
Right.
Like, you cannot watch your own stuff. I can't listen to my first podcast.
Like,
it's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it just shows you that you have to get through that muck before you get to the good stuff.
For sure.
And so it's just all about getting started, right? And there's a lot of things that go with that.
Key. What were some of the biggest, I guess, breakthroughs for you, you know, as you were podcasting and growing your show?
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of start there. Then we'll go back and say, hey, what are some of those biggest challenges?
Sure. So some of the big breakthroughs, I mean, I remember specifically, I was only doing a show every other week.
Okay.
To start.
Sure.
Now I do it every week, and I have other podcasts that happen almost daily now. But I started every other week because I just was kind of getting a feel for it.
Right.
And I was blogging 3 times a week on top of that.
Okay.
So I was mainly a blogger still. And a few months later, I went to this conference, and all I could hear from people were like, oh my gosh, I love your podcast. Your podcast this. I love your podcast. I'm like, what about my blog? Like, I work so much harder on that.
Right.
And then I realized, like, nobody ever says, Pat, thank you so much for your post on those top 5 tips for Facebook, right? Like,
sure.
Nobody will go out of of your way to thank you for that.
Right.
But when you tell stories on a platform like a podcast or a video like this, it's like that becomes memorable, and it becomes something that people have become a part of them. And so when they see that person,
sure.
I mean, all these people were coming up to me like we've been friends for years.
Right.
They're like, oh, how's your wife doing? How are your kids? I'm like, hold up. Like, who are you? Who are you? It was really creepy at first, right?
Sure.
Like, I was really scared. Like, and then I realized, wow, that this platform, podcasting, is allowing me to actually build these real, like, legit, real relationships with people.
Right.
And not just one-to-one. It feels one-to-one to the listener because they're listening to you, like, in their ears, right?
For sure.
But it's one to, at first it was 1 to 100, 1 to 1,000. Now it's 1 to 100,000 with every
right.
episode that I, like, imagine going to a stadium every week and having people pour in there because they've chosen to listen to you.
Sure.
Like, that's what it's like.
Cool. Yeah.
And if you scale that down, if you're just starting out and you're like, those are numbers that I can never reach, that's totally fine. Imagine
right.
a room of 100 people, like
yeah.
a literal room. You go into a room, you're on stage, and 100 people are there. They signed up to listen to you every single week. Like, that's really powerful.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it really brings it back into perspective. So that was a big moment for me, just realizing, getting that feel from people that this was big. So that's when I switched from biweekly to weekly.
Okay.
And then the other cool part about podcasting and a big thing for me was, you know, being able to have an excuse to talk to really high up people for a really long time. You
right.
know, like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss. Like, I could never just have originally reached out to them
like,
and be like,
hey, yeah.
be like, can you talk to me for 45 minutes? No, they don't have time for that, right?
Right.
But hey, you want to come on my podcast? I have several listeners who may enjoy your upcoming book.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. They're going to say yes, right?
Right?
And then now I can name drop and be like, oh, I've interviewed people like Gary Vee and Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
If people aren't usually going to say yes, they might be more likely to say yes now.
That's awesome.
So the influencer sort of reach out ability with a podcast is cool too. And then just through association, like
right.
you think of people like John Lee Dumas, who've been very successful with podcasting.
Sure.
He's become successful because he's been able to interview all these other people who are now sharing his show
right.
because they've been featured
yeah.
on that. So it's just, I mean, it's incredible.
So then, those are kind of some of your biggest breakthrough points with podcasting. What were some of the, like, maybe like 3 points of challenges and kind of how you worked through those
sure.
along your journey?
So, I mean, there's been millions of challenges,
know.
Right? Like, there's so many failures. I mean, to start, it was just getting over myself and those limiting
okay.
beliefs that is this something I could really do?
Right.
And then really to solve that problem, it was breaking those big goals down into smaller chunks.
Okay.
And I learned these strategies through the internet marketers that I was following, you know, taking these big goals, chunking them down into little bitty milestones so that you can actually appreciate the journey and
sure.
not just the light at the end of the tunnel that you can hardly ever see right at the beginning, right? So appreciating the small wins along the way is great for motivation and to
right.
keep moving forward. So that's one thing. Secondly, just the technology part of it. Like, that stuff scared the crap out of me. I'm not super techie like that. But then I soon realized that there are other people out there who are great at those things.
Right.
And if I just connect with those people or learn from them, then they'll show me the way.
Sure.
Right. And a lot of people use technology as an excuse to stop themselves from blogging or podcasting or doing video, right? Another thing was just I didn't think I was qualified to do it because
okay.
especially with the lead guide,
right.
I'm like, okay, I barely passed the exam. Like, am I really somebody who should be writing this book?
Right.
Like, shouldn't a person who got a perfect score be writing this?
Yeah.
Not me. But then, like I said earlier, you know, you become an expert in the eyes of somebody if you were just a couple steps ahead of them.
Sure.
And when you really think about it, a lot of times, and I know this now because I interview not just A-listers on my podcast now, I interview success stories that I've created, so people who are in my audience, which is
cool.
Like nobody's ever heard of them before.
Right.
But those episodes get way more compliments, they get way more downloads, and are a lot shared a lot more because they're more relatable.
Sure.
Because those people, exactly, they're only one or two steps ahead of my listening audience versus somebody who's 100 steps ahead.
Right.
And because of that, they are more likable, they are more approachable.
That's awesome. Sure.
And so for me, with my lead exam stuff, I soon realized that I'm actually better suited to teach these people because I've gone through that same process not too long ago versus this corporate company who's creating these guides that A, are a lot more expensive, but B, don't have any personality behind them, right? And a big challenge was in 2009, I guess the organization that administers this exam found out about what I was doing and they created their own guides because they didn't have guides before. So they created their own study guides and I thought I was crushed. Like, how can I compete with the organization that writes the exam questions?
Sure.
Like, I'm done, right? I actually had surges of sales when they came out with their own guides.
Wow.
Because what happened was that event allowed people to realize that there were guides out there, but they were looking for other options.
Right.
And they found this guy named Pat Flynn who wrote a book who was somebody who went through the exam just not too long ago.
Sure.
And so I started to get a lot more customers.
That's awesome.
At that point, which is super cool.
And so, and that's so cool the way, you know, they're bringing out the exam then helped drive more sales for you. And it was totally like opposite mindset of, you know, where you were mentally.
There's been a lot of those moments for me where I expect something to happen one way, and then it happens another way. Another one was related to the price of my guide. I had mentioned earlier I had sold it for $19.95, and I like just literally threw a dart at the wall for that because I had no idea what I was doing. And then I had one of my customers come up to me or email me and said, Pat, I'm a small business owner. You need to raise the price of your book. Like, this was somebody who bought my book telling me to raise the price of my book. And I was just like, no, I'm pretty comfortable with this price. You know, I really want to be that guy that everybody gets at the low price. I want to serve everybody. And he's like, you will have more sales if you raise this price because this book looks really cheap the way you're selling it. Like, trust me, do it. And so I literally increased the price by 50%. And the next day, I had a 25% raise in sales, like the quantity.
Sure.
And I was like, what? Like, first of all, thank you for emailing me.
Right.
But it really went against what I thought, because I thought, okay, cheaper is better. But then I realized there's this thing called perceived value.
Right.
Where, you know, if you go to a furniture store and everything's like $1,000 and you see this amazing looking chair, but it's $5.
Yeah.
You're like, something's wrong.
Right.
I'm not going to sit on that chair.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things I realized. And then the coolest part was I was so just stoked about how successful I was at the beginning. I reached out to all my customers and I asked them a couple questions, like survey.
Cool.
Because I wanted to learn more about, okay, well, why are you buying from me?
Right.
Versus anybody else who's selling stuff. And what was really interesting was that 25% of the respondents had said, Pat, I had already passed the exam when you came out with your guide.
Okay.
But I bought it anyway because you finally gave me a way for me to pay you back.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
That is,
holy crap. Like, you didn't even need to spend that money, but you felt the need to because of all the value that I had
that you once created.
Yeah. And that just showed me, okay, serve first, byproduct of that is your earnings. And that's the approach I always take now.
Cool. What would you say maybe like 3 points are somebody's wanting to get started with a podcast, whether it's audio or video or whatever?
Sure.
I guess what are maybe 3 easy strategies or tips to give them?
Yeah, I mean, I have a free podcasting tutorial that one could go through, no emails required or nothing. Like, my job is to just blow you away with content and have you want to give me your email. Like, that's the approach that I take.
Cool.
So podcastingtutorial.com, it'll get you through the entire process from start to finish. But there's some really key things to know. First of all, a podcast, you know, as much as it is audio, it's actually very visual because when you go to iTunes, what do you see first before you listen to anything? You see the cover art, right?
Right.
So pay attention to the category that you're going into and how you might be able to stand out. Plus, iTunes is Apple. Apple loves to showcase great-looking things.
Right.
So don't just skimp over the artwork for your show. Secondly, when you launch, don't just launch with one episode. like I did, because you want to give people a chance to dive into it more.
Sure.
I mean, we are in the Netflix binge watching era, right? Where
right.
people will go and keep going with the content that they like. So you want to give maybe 3 episodes when you launch, not
okay.
just 1. That way people can dive into more. Maybe 1 episode resonates with somebody more than another one, which then gives you the ability to take advantage of the iTunes algorithm, which is somewhat secret, but it's kind of known. It's not as open as Google in terms
right.
of how their secrets are. But the algorithm essentially is the more subscriptions, the more downloads and ratings and reviews you can get in a
okay.
shorter time period, like the acceleration of those things
oh,
is
okay.
what bumps you up in the rankings.
Gotcha.
So when you have 3 episodes come out, you're really taking advantage of all those things at the same time. And when you launch it like an event. Like, this is a huge deal. Like, make it, like, build hype for it.
Right.
Run a contest that same day. Get all your network involved to kind of promote it at the same
sure.
time. That's how you really launch with a bang and
okay.
stay at the top longer, for sure.
I'm glad you brought that up, is the whole algorithm and, you know, trying to get that figured out. So what do you suggest, because you said you'd launch with like 3 or 5, you know, kind of in that range.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you promote, it doesn't matter if they subscribe to 1 or all 3, or do you need to focus on just like driving the traffic to the 1 episode?
I would drive traffic to your first episode,
okay.
have that one be the game changer. However, people will continue to listen to the others,
right.
or they'll come across that episode, see the others, and actually be more interested in those other ones. When
gotcha.
They subscribe, they're just subscribing to your show.
To the show.
And what's,
okay.
what's really cool about cool. that and the way podcasting works is when people subscribe to your show, the next time you come out with an episode, it automatically gets pushed to their device.
Right.
Like, they don't have to
okay.
go and make a choice to download it again.
Sure.
It's on
automatically.
It's on their device.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is super cool.
And so, because you see a lot of that, you know, just for myself looking, is a lot of the different rank, you know, like, oh, you know, my podcast number 1, but it's only there for like a day or something.
Yeah.
So how do you get, like, for me, is like high performance is like sustained performance over
right.
time, not just boom, a burst in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get that sustained, I guess, top spots
yeah.
for a continuous?
Great question. So what I would do is, like I said, when you launch like an event, right, to make
right.
a big deal out of it. Then you're going to go through the motions, and it's gonna be stabilizing, and then, you know, you're going to see the rankings and the traffic and the downloads just start to stabilize a little bit.
Okay.
You
want to
give it another spike. So
okay.
what I would do is create what I like to call a hit episode in the future. Yes, you want all your episodes to be hit episodes, right?
Right.
But pick one. Maybe it's an interview with an A-lister that you know is coming up.
Okay.
That you can plan a little bit more ahead for, create an event around, run contests around it to just, again, give a huge surge
sure.
for the acceleration for those things that affect the rankings. And doing that every 10 episodes,
okay.
you'll get a nice like spike that brings you back up and raises that
okay.
plateau that you
kind
end
of keeps that level
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a bunch of different kinds of episodes like that. It just doesn't have to be, you know, an interview with an A-lister.
Right.
One episode that I did that went really well was I asked 15 different entrepreneurs
okay.
a single question, and I had them respond with their voice.
Oh, cool.
And they used a tool called, or you can use a tool called SpeakPipe.com.
SpeakPipe. Okay.
So if you forward people to your special SpeakPipe link, they can record their voice through their computer, and then it gets shipped to you as an MP3.
Oh, nice.
Like literally
That's
right
cool.
away. So
yeah.
you can just drop those MP3s. So what I did was I asked 15 entrepreneurs, what's one thing you wish you knew before you got started as an entrepreneur?
Right.
And then I just combined all those MP3s into one episode.
That's awesome.
And so it's sort of like those posts that you see on blogs.
Sure.
That have, like, roundup posts, I think they call them, but in a podcast format.
That's cool.
And of course, because they're featured on their shows, on your show, they're going to share that.
Right.
Exactly. So
sharing,
I had a
yeah.
huge spike in downloads at that point, and a lot of new subscribers in higher rankings, too. Another good tip for you is to interview forum owners. This is a great
okay.
tip because when you think about it, forum owners, they have these large numbers of people who are just communicating within a specific topic.
Right.
If you invite that forum owner to come talk about that community and, you know, share some advice and stuff, do you think that that forum owner is going to share that interview with that forum?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter if you have a podcast or a video show or even just a blog interview. That works really, really well.
Right.
And that's some untapped land for a lot of you who are kind of looking for bigger surges in your traffic, perhaps.
That's awesome. I like the other day, one of the interviews I did with Gary Vaynerchuk, he actually just shared it out on his own iPod, like on his iTunes thing.
Yeah, that's
through
cool.
his own channel and stuff. And everybody's like, oh, dude, congrats. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, here, they sent me a photo. I'm like, oh, that's awesome,
yeah,
man.
Gary's cool like that. Like, he gives back to people who
for sure, help him. Yeah. But like I said, you see that, and yeah. then you start seeing that traction and stuff. And I never asked him. I just, you know, and that's it was cool. really cool, you know, for him to give that back and everything yeah. as well. So you're talking about, like, different contests and things like that. What was a successful contest for you that helped push, you know, more people to the rankings and everything?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things you can do. There's some tools out there that are available to you to kind of manage these things for you. If you okay. have a WordPress site, there's a WordPress plugin called King Sumo,
okay.
which is run by the guys from AppSumo.
AppSumo, yeah.
And that's a great tool because it sort of viralizes the content,
okay.
The contest. So in order for people to qualify for more entries okay. into the random contest, they have to share.
Gotcha.
And so the more okay. shares, the more entries they have into the okay. contest. There's also one called Rafflecopter, which okay, is really good sure. For those contests as well. In terms of what to give away, I mean, honestly, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
People just, you're going to give them an excuse to potentially get something in return for the small
yeah.
action of what that is. And
okay.
my buddy Chris Ducker and I, we launched a podcast a few years back called the One Day Business Breakthrough Podcast. We run these little small events every once in a while when we're in town together. And we just created a podcast to kind of promote that event. And we launched it and said, hey, we're going to give away a t-shirt a day for the week of launch. And it's going to go to a person who reviews the show. So we'll go and look on iTunes at all the reviews, and we'll pick one person every day for this week, and they're going to win a shirt. And so you have to subscribe and then leave a review.
And sure.
we got up to like the top five podcasts overall from doing that.
Right.
Like
that's cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we huge surge of downloads. Obviously, we're not there anymore. But we're still continuing, even though we haven't updated that show for a while. This is the other cool thing about podcasting and the directory. Because it's not as competitive as, say, websites or blogs,
sure.
there's far less. You can get a lot of evergreen traffic.
Right.
And a lot of people I know are specifically now building podcasts that aren't going to go on forever.
Okay.
But they create a 20-episode series, for example, that at the end promotes a coaching program or
okay.
promotes some sort of product or online
sure.
course. And it's just a constant stream of people.
Because people are always listening.
People are yeah. always listening, and they're listening to the person who will potentially become their coach.
Right.
So they're getting coaching and getting a feel
too.
For what it's like already.
Yeah, right.
So it just makes sense to me
wow.
that sale at the end. And that's been working really well
wow,
for people
that's
too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are taking great notes here. Pat is just filling this up with knowledge bombs, tons of golden nuggets. So, I mean, if you guys are thinking about starting a podcast, if you already have a podcast, I mean, you can utilize anything that he's talking about to level up, move it to that next level for you out there. So, super exciting, man. Tons
cool.
of awesome content. There's a lot of different podcasts out there. A lot of them don't make any kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you monetize? Or I know that's not your first thought for it. It's creating the value and putting the best content out there. But then what was that next step? Obviously, you're like, okay, cool. I got to have some kind of money generation along the way.
Right,
you know, what's that best strategy for people?
Well, there's a number of different ways to go about it. And it
okay.
depends on who you are and what you have available. If you have your own products, you can sell your own products through your podcast.
Right.
You can do that in many different ways. You can sell products as an affiliate. Actually, that's the first way that I started
okay.
generating an income through podcasts. And the cool thing about that is that you might talk about a process that goes from start to finish. And within that process, whatever that is, you drop tools or services that
sure.
you use, and just things that you've used along the way.
Okay.
And then you have the links on your show notes on your website where
people
can click
go.
Through, or you have really easy URLs that people can go through. Like
okay.
if you have a WordPress site, there's a tool called PrettyLink that
right.
shortens those long URLs and makes them really easy to type in or remember. So affiliate marketing is great, but another tool on top of, or another way to use affiliate marketing is to actually invite the owner of that product that you are promoting
right.
on the show to do the interview. Because the challenge with affiliate
sure.
marketing is it's not your own product.
Right.
And if you're recommending it, people are like, okay, I see you're using this, but you know, I don't really trust it yet.
Right.
But if you have the person who owns that product, come on. I mean, they're going to do a good job for
we're
you.
Talking about, right, yeah.
They want to.
Use them to promote it.
Right, exactly. but then what's happening is your listeners are starting to develop a relationship with this product. And because
okay.
you're the one who hosted this person, they're going to go through your affiliate link to do that. So now I have episodes that I recorded back in 2012 that are continually, I'm keeping track based on special links that are in those
sure.
episodes, every day, 10 to 50 clicks
wow. okay.
on those older episodes that were made
right.
6 years ago.
That's amazing.
Which is
yeah.
which is cool. So that again, just dropping those things in there, and over time, they exponentially grow into
right.
just a massive amount of ways that people
okay.
can sort of help you increase your income. Another way to go about it is advertising and sponsorship, okay. which is very popular. However, it's a little bit difficult at first because you have to get a certain number of people to
download. That they look
download.
For.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go through a company like midroll.com or other ones that sort of connect the sponsor to your show, okay. you're going to have a minimum of about $50,000 per month, which is, okay. which is quite a lot, especially for those just starting out. However,
right.
if there is a company out there that you really want to sponsor, just go out and reach out to them. Because the way that it works typically is on a CPM model or listen or per 1,000 listens.
Okay.
So maybe you only have 1,000 listens per show, but if they are the most targeted audience who always move for you,
right.
well, a company is obviously going to want to get in front of that, and you can charge a lot more.
Okay.
You can do a trial run for one episode just to prove yourself to them, too.
Right.
So, and that can work. On top of that, there's another tool out there called Patreon, which a lot of people are using,
okay.
especially in the podcasting world. But it's not just for podcasts. But what it does is it allows your fans or your audience to support the show
okay.
in a way that's very much like PBS, you know, like supported by viewers like you. So
right.
a person could pledge, for example, oh, I'll pledge a dollar for every episode you come out with. And if they're like a huge fan of your
that's
show,
cool.
that's going to be totally worth it, right? But imagine if you get 4,000 listeners to each pledge a dollar for every episode you come out
yeah.
with. Like, now we're talking about some good money coming in.
Right.
It makes the audience feel good because they feel like they're a part of it and they're supporting the show,
part.
Right? And
that's pretty cool.
Plus, you can remove the sponsors from there, which does take up a little bit of airtime.
Right.
So there's a number of different ways to go about it. One of my favorite things to do is take people behind the scenes of launches that are coming up.
Okay.
So when I came out with my book, Will It Fly, last year, which was awesome, to lead into that,
right.
I did some solo podcast episodes that were just talking about the process of writing a book.
Sure.
And what it was like to work with a team and get it edited and all that was entailed with that.
That's cool.
I interviewed people who were experts in strategies for launching a book. Again, providing
right.
value, but at
right.
the same time, just dropping hints about my book coming
right.
out.
Right. Okay.
So by the time the book came out, it kind of
it was already with, planted
yeah.
seeds
oh,
out
for
there
sure.
stuff everywhere.
And I did the same thing recently with my product launch for a course that I came out with. So taking people up behind the scenes with your podcast or any platform you have is a good strategy to lead into a launch that you have coming up.
That's awesome, man. I think we got a couple of minutes left.
Cool.
So what I guess what's one piece of technology that you couldn't live without?
Oh gosh, my calendar. You know, because if it doesn't get scheduled, for me at least, it doesn't
right.
get done.
Yeah.
Right. And I have to be very strict with where I spend my time.
For sure.
And without the calendar, it'd be very difficult to manage all the things I have
right.
going on. So that keeps me insane. And then the other thing, it's not necessarily technology, but it's a tool that I use now with every piece of content that I create.
Okay.
And that's Post-it notes.
Okay.
So this is, I know it sounds old school, but I absolutely love Post-it notes because it's very small, so you can only write down like one or two things.
Right.
But you can pick them up and move them around. So when I'm
sure.
brainstorming a new book, for example, I'll just write down an idea, put it down, write down an idea, like, and then by the end I have like 60 different
sure.
things that I want like included in this book.
Right.
Because our brains do a great job of coming up with ideas, but not a great job, actually a terrible job, of organizing those ideas
right.
or in creating hierarchy or order. So what the Post-it notes do is it helps you take all those things in your brain, visualize them,
right.
and then you can start to create patterns and clumps and groups and hierarchies, and you'll
awesome.
Find through that exercise that a book will just magically form because you're
sure.
like, oh, here's chapter one, that makes sense because that's in the beginning, and here are four things that I should talk about in that chapter. Here's the next step, and here's the next step, and then it's just your outline's there.
That's
so
awesome.
So if you're doing a book
yeah.
or a course
right.
or a series of any kind, like the Post-it notes work really well. Like I feel like Post-it notes should reach out to me because I've been helping them. So much, like I've shared the strategy.
Sponsor, right?
Yeah, oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is really a truly magical experience to go through that and actually see your product form right in front of you.
Right.
Where before it was just like mush in your brain, right? Where it's
for
not
sure.
ever defined until you see it.
That's all. That's like one of the best tips because when I think my, like you said, I always think in like those little chunks.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here, I write it here,
yeah.
you know, on a notebook or type it on my phone. But it, like kind of popping it all just on a little sticky note thing is phenomenal because then I can write those ideas down, whether they're all in one day, over a
right.
week,
right.
or whatever it may be, and then put it all together and say, okay, what am I looking at? And
so I do this when I create my courses now too. So I have every lesson in the course has its own Post-it note, basically, by the
sure.
end. And so when I'm ready to start filming, I take that Post-it note out, I put it on my computer, and I'm just focused on that. Like
on that,
that
right.
like I have that note there, and that's my one thing that I'm working on. And then as I put it back, I like put a giant X over it, and I can just see like the checklist right in front of me. And it's just such a great way to organize.
That's awesome. It's like super old school, but it's like super simple.
Yeah.
And that's so awesome. And it doesn't require any kind of technology or anything.
No.
Just super cheap post-it notes.
Post-it notes, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know you've got a super busy schedule today, and it was such an honor to have you on Making Bank.
Thank you for having me.
Learning all the insights, learning all the different ways, how we can be better podcasters, even myself, and just what we need to do to take the next steps to move forward. So what's one, I guess, last piece of advice or suggestion or thought or idea you'd like to leave with the audience?
Sure. So the biggest thing I've learned over the years as I've started to sort of step out of my comfort zone and try these new things. Like, I always thought I was going to be a blogger, right?
Right.
And then I stepped into the video world and the podcasting world and the speaking world. And before each of those things, I've always been met with a lot of fear and,
okay.
and resistance,
sure.
as Stephen Pressfield says in The War of Art. And at first, I would just kind of draw back and go back to where I was. That's why it took me like a year and a half to start my podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, try it. Uncomfortable, going to go back to what I was used to doing. Like that was like my security blanket, right? What was blogging. But I soon realized that the fear that I had was actually a sign that that's what I should do. That it was something that was meaningful, that it was something that would actually have an effect on my business because it was something I feared, because it was outside of my comfort zone, right?
Right.
So now I look toward the fear and I go to it. And if I don't have a little bit of a fear or nervousness before I'm doing something or challenging myself with something new, that's when I get really scared.
Okay.
Because that means I'm probably not going big enough.
Right.
So the challenge I have to you is, ask yourself, with whatever it is that you're doing right now, are you a little bit nervous about it? And if not, I would actually be scared of that, the fact that you're not nervous about it. It probably means you're not going big enough. Because you can only make progress when you go big and bold, right? It takes bold actions, and that happens. And the sign of that happening is you're a little bit nervous about that next thing. So if you're not, push yourself even more, go a little bit bigger to the point at which you start to feel, you know, in your gut that this is maybe something that is a little bit scary to you. And just keep going toward that as a sign.
Cool. Awesome. And where can people find out about what you're doing? Any of your podcast or any different links?
Sure. Thank you. You can just go to smartpassiveincome.com and find me there. Everything I have going on is there. And I'm very active on Twitter and Instagram at Pat Flynn.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank today. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.